on Off to the Races. We missed you last week, and we're sorry about that. There were some computer glitches with the station and issues and this and that, and we could not do a show last week, but we're certainly happy to be back at it this week, and we've got a big show lined up, so it should be a lot of fun to be back in action. The Off to the Races is powered by The Racing Biz, the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Check us out, www.theracingbiz.com. Also, pick up our free mobile app, and you can connect with us on social media. We're all over the place. We are at The Racing Biz. Always happy to hear from folks on social media. Today's show of today's edition of Off to the Races, if you will, and I will, is presented by the Virginia Thoroughbred Association, the Virginia Equine Alliance, helping to make Virginia racing history. Those good folks are hosting a series of Road to the Derby handicapping contests. You can participate in those. They're taking place at Ponies and Pints in Richmond and Buckets Bar and Grill in Chesapeake. There's going to be thousands of dollars prize money on the table. You're definitely going to want to check those out if you are in the Richmond or Chesapeake areas. Learn more about those contests at virginiahorseracing.com. Good stuff from our friends at the VTA and the VEA. Like I said, we got a lot to do on today's show, but let's take a quick look back at the week that was. First, on the racing side, huge day at Gulfstream Park. That was a week ago today. That was last Saturday. Huge day at Gulfstream last weekend. The brightest star of all was the winner of the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth. That's the 3-year-old Code of Honor.
Hidden Scroll puts away Glane. Now he has to deal with Vekoma and on the inside, Code of Honor. And Code of Honor means business. He's into the clear and challenging the favorite as they turn for home. Less than a quarter of a mile to go in the Fountain of Youth. Hidden Scroll digs deep, but Code of Honor blows past. And Code of Honor is on to the front. Hidden Scroll trying to hold on to second. Here's Bourbon War unleashing a big run down the center. But Code of Honor is going to hang on to win the Fountain of Youth three parts of a length over a flying Bourbon War second. Vekoma's in a picture for third with Hidden Scroll in 143-4.
Pete Aiello on the call there with a lively pace up front, sapping the energy of the post-time favorite Hidden Scroll. He would ultimately finish fourth. Code of Honor came rolling from ninth place to win by 3/4 of a length over the even later running Bourbon War. Code of Honor was ridden a victory by Johnny Velasquez for trainer Shug McGahee. Shug McGahee, known in most recent years as the guy who conditioned Orb to Kentucky Derby glory in 2013. Code of Honor is a son of Noble Mission out of the graded stakes winning Dixie Union mare Reunited. Code of Honor owned by his breeder, Will Farish. Code of Honor now has two wins, $384,000 in earnings from four career starts. Four career starts. Equally important, the 50 Kentucky Derby trail points he picked up gave him 54 total, place him second on the Derby leaderboard. That should be enough. It should mean that he will be, barring any unforeseen circumstances, in the starting gate in Louisville on the first Saturday of May for the 2019 Kentucky Derby. So Code of Honor wins the Fountain of Youth. Next up, most likely the Florida Derby. On another and unhappier national note, Santa Anita Park near Los Angeles has canceled racing. They did so effective March 5th, and they have not yet announced a date when the track will resume racing. The decision to call off racing came in the wake of 21 equine fatalities at the track over a period of 2 months and change. The main track is undergoing extensive testing to determine if and to what extent it may have contributed to the spate of fatalities. In addition, the Stronach Group, which owns Santa Anita, as well as Gulfstream Park and, closer to home, Laurel and Pimlico, has announced a number of new safety measures it's instituting. The cancellation of racing today means that a number of important races are being rescheduled. Those include the Big Cap, that's the Grade 1 Santa Anita Handicap, and the Grade 2 San Felipe, which was the track's next step on the road to the Kentucky Derby. That route to the Derby leads through the Santa Anita Derby next month. You can reschedule the Big Cap because it's a race for older horses, and if you find the right spot, it's still an important race. Not clear if you can move the San Felipe around and still have it mean anything since its current place on the schedule is as a prep for the Santa Anita Derby. Nevertheless, racing canceled at Santa Anita Park indefinitely while track officials try to get a handle on the situation out there. Speaking of the road to the Derby, there are three stops on it taking place today. The Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby in Tampa Bay Downs. The Grade 3 Aqueduct at the Big A. The Grade 3 Gotham, I'm sorry, at the Big A Aqueduct. And at Turfway Park, the race formerly known as the Spiral Stakes. That's also a Grade 3 event. So plenty on the line in Derby Trail leaderboard points, plenty on the line in prestige in three-year-old racing today around the country. We're going to be talking plenty more about the Derby and the Derby Trail a little bit later on in this program when Derby Bill Watson and Nick Hahn join us. In the meantime, we're going to have Debbie Easter pinch hitting. We had teased Stephanie Nixon from the Virginia Racing Commission. She has a farm emergency, so she will not be on today, but Debbie Easter going to pinch hit for us. She's head of the Virginia Thoroughbred Association. But up next, right after the break, you're going to want to stick around for this. We're going to have Strana Group COO, Chief Operating Officer Tim Redfoe, going to talk about what's happening at Santa Anita and what's happening closer to home with the future of Maryland racing. You're listening to Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. We'll be right back.
99.5 and 102.7 ESPN is now Richmond's number one source for sports talk and play-by-play. Morning, afternoon, and night. Thanks for making us the most listened to sports station in RVA and the Tri-Cities.
There's something different about a diamond from Diamonds Direct. It sparkles more. It's more brilliant. It stands out. People notice it more. You know why? It starts with owners who are obsessed with quality and perfection. Every diamond at Diamonds Direct is handpicked for maximum brilliance. We know how to get the perfect cut that gives you that magic sparkle. In fact, we're so picky. For every 100 diamonds we look at, we will usually only choose about 5 to bring back to our showroom. Then, to give you the ultimate in confidence, our diamonds are certified by the most stringent and most reputable American gem labs. In fact, Diamonds Direct has one of the largest selections of GIA-certified diamonds in the country. Our passion for quality extends to the rings we sell, too. Our engagement rings are not cookie-cutter. They're handcrafted by the world's top ring designers, with intricate detail and true artisan craftsmanship made right here in America. No cutting corners, no compromises. That's why you can always spot a diamond from Diamonds Direct, where Richmond gets engaged. Short Pump West Broad Village, online, diamondsdirect.com.
Westwood One presents great moments in tournament history.
The year Butler finally did it. A script so good, it could have been a movie. After this.
And now, a quick comparison from Grasshopper. When picking a phone number for business, what sounds more professional? Your personal number?
Hold on, let me give you my cell. And actually, let me get yours too, just so I don't ignore your call, you know?
Or a dedicated business number, courtesy of Grasshopper.
It was a pleasure meeting you. Our number is 1-833-IT-TROOP. Give us a call anytime.
There's no contest. Put your best voice forward with Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Try it free at grasshopper.com.
We alarm our houses and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
Several years of knocking on the door, Butler came crashing through in 2010 and made a historic run that captivated college basketball. Gordon Hayward led the mid-major Bulldogs past more heralded schools, such as Syracuse and Kansas State, en route to an unlikely berth in the Final Four, where they continued their magic.
Second free throw, no good.
Rebound, Hayward has it for Butler, and this ball game is over. And Butler, yes, Butler will play for a national championship on Monday night.
But the Bulldogs couldn't complete the Hollywood ending, falling just short to Duke in the final, 61-59. Nevertheless, Butler's memorable march is another great moment in tournament history. I'm Kevin Kugler.
Covering our local teams with a local passion.
We're dedicated to the most sports talk for true RVA sports fans. 99.5 and 102.7 ESPN.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, everybody, off to the races here on a Saturday morning, the 9th of March. Appreciate your spending some time with us. And our first guest coming up right now is the Chief Operating Officer of the Stronach Group, Tim Ritvo. He oversees racing operations at some of America's most important racetracks, including Gulfstream Park, Santa Anita, closer to home, Laurel and Pimlico. Tim, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate you making a little bit of time. I know you got a lot going on, so we'll kind of dive right into it. And I want to start, obviously, the track that's been sort of making a lot of national news over the last several days has been Santa Anita Park, where you guys made the decision to shut down racing to try to get a handle on the equine fatality situation. Can you tell us where we stand on Santa Anita, where you guys are sort of in process?
Yeah, we've been out here with a, you know, pretty much a crisis team. I mean, we've had some rash of, you know, unfortunate breakdowns. We've done a complete, extensive review of the racetrack. Everything seems to be within order. We've brought in Dr. McPeterson from Kentucky. We brought Dennis Moore back, who had retired earlier this year. Soil analysis, thumping, testing of the base, and everything seems to be in order. We're still a couple days away from opening up the main track. But we haven't found anything significant. We're studying the past history of the horses, and if anything was similar. We have had 16 inches of rain out here. As you guys know, in the Mid-Atlantic, you got a lot of rain and snow, but out here, they're not used to it. It's kind of the desert. And when something like this happens, it's been 16 inches compared to like 1.5 a year before last couple of years. So, we think a lot of it has been attributed to the sealed racetracks and the hardness of them. But nevertheless, we're taking every precautionary measure. And the horsemen and the CHRB have all been very cooperative in trying to figure out, how do we prevent this going forward, and, making sure we did everything we could to understand the situation. And that's where we're at now.
It sounds like you're really, and we had this issue in Maryland a few years ago. They had it in Aqueduct a couple of years before that. A lot of times there's no smoking gun, and it seems like that's kind of where you're getting here, that it may be the sort of confluence of a lot of different and unfortunate factors.
Yeah, there's definitely nothing is pointed to one single thing. There's lots of little things, but nothing really, conclusive. The base was intact. The content of the moisture, the track is good. The horses are all different ages, basically, different parts of the track. So we just think it's a bad rash. We think, obviously the rain had some contribution to it because we have to, because it's, we had so much of it, and we sailed the track and ran over a lot of sailed tracks and trained over sailed tracks, and buses out here aren't as used to it as they are in other locations. So, and you're right. It's happened at Del Mar. It's happened at Churchill. It's happened in New York. I mean, and sometimes these things, but we're living in an era today where we have to be more conscious and really be on top of it. And try to be proactive. So that's what we're doing here. We're implementing some new procedures. And that's where we're at. Hopefully we'll be back to what I call the new normal, because not sure if it'll ever be normal again.
Yeah, certainly that's true. What, do we have a sense yet of when live racing may return to Santa Anita?
Our goal, and it's all subject to change, would be a week from Friday. In other words, we plan on opening the main track on Monday for light training. And if a couple of days is light training, then allow people to start breezing again. So that will give, we want to make sure we give the horses enough time to get back into shape, loosen up. And training track's been open for the last couple of days, no incidents. Now we'll open up the big track. If we have no incidents, we'll let people breeze. And if they breeze well and come back good, then we'll start running the following week, which would be the 22nd.
Okay. Okay, good. Talking with Tim Ridfo, COO of the Stronach Group here. Tim, let's turn a little closer to home for our program and turn to your tracks in Maryland. And there's been a lot of talk about what's been going on. There are sort of competing bills, if you will, in the state legislature. And I want to actually spin ahead a few years. If things go the way the Stronach Group hopes they go, you know, the legislation that you want passes, that, you know, you're able to do the things you hope to do, what does Maryland racing look like in 3, 4, 5 years?
Yeah, so first, I don't believe they're competing, Bill, but anyways, we'll touch on that.
But, we'll talk about that.
For sure. They're going ahead. I think Maryland racing is going to be spectacular. If we get to do the things we want to do, which is build a super track that can host a Breeders' Cup, you know, obviously we already have a great race, the Preakness, right, 140-something years. But if we can add to that with an international, bringing back an international and having the Maryland Millions, if you could imagine having four of those huge events in a new facility with the first-class amenities and then all the added elements around it, I think it becomes a Gulfstream on steroids. It becomes, you know, we go to another level. Because Gulfstream, you know, is a great facility and it's a great year-round facility, but it lacks, we have the Pegasus there, but there's 15,000 people. It lacks that big punch. And, you know, the tracks in Maryland, whether it's the Preakness where it's at now today or whether it's Laurel in the future, Maryland can have that. But the consolidation of seeing one super track with a great training center will make, like, Santa Anita to St. Louis Ray, Gulfstream Park to Palm Meadows, and you'll have Laurel to Bowie. And, you know, that kind of puts your whole package together. So, I mean, listen, we've been, you know, about 5 years now on a new trajectory in Maryland. Things are going good with the Pratt Mutual Handler. You've seen the renovations yourself firsthand. And I just think we just got started. We got to really put a capital, you know, finish on this thing. And we're almost there. If we can get this Medco bill passed, that would give us the authority to basically do a deal with approval from the Racing Commission, get a Medco bond, and finish this thing up.
Ed, Tim, what you guys talk about a super track, and I think I know what it is, but define that for me. What's Laurel going to be when it's a super track? How is it different from what it is today?
Ask about the term, right? So the idea of super track is, and that's just a term, right? But it's a track that is one of the three best in the country. It's a track that people talk about everywhere. It's a multi-purpose entertainment complex, right? It's great for racing, but it's also great for entertainment at night after the races are over. And it offers, you know, the ability to host a Breeders' Cup, but also have trade shows when racing's not going on. And then restaurants and stuff like that. So we look at it as a multi-entertainment facility with a lot of, you know, a lot of action so that people can come there and enjoy a day, whether they're coming to watch racing or just coming to learn about it and bet on it. And, you know, just we just want to be able to mix the families together, the husbands, wives, the kids, where they can all come and have a multi-purpose use of the building. So that's kind of where we're at.
So obviously you're saying, so we have a super track at Laurel. You've got a first-class training facility at Bowie. That's what the future looks like if you can spin it together a few years. Obviously, I mean, a question that has been on the minds of a lot of people is, you know, sort of whether Pimlico. And so I guess my first question is, what is the thought process? I mean, I think if you go back 10 years and people would say, if somebody had said, well, only one of Laurel and Pimlico is going to survive, everybody would have said, well, Pimlico, obviously. What's your all's thought process that has made you decide Laurel is the place to be and not Pimlico?
Yeah, so first, right, when we talk about the bills, I just think it's important, the opposing bills. The mayor's bill is to study Pimlico and Preakness, and we respect that. And we've said we haven't come out and opposed it, and we sat through informational. So we think it's separate. And then our bill is to basically say, allow us to fund RFRA money with matching dollars, none of the state money that isn't already earmarked, into this super track at Laurel. And then that's kind of how we see it. So we think, both bills pass, we're fine with that and continuing to look. What we're saying as a company, it only makes sense for us to invest into one super facility that can do everything. But if the state and city feel strong enough that they believe it has to stay on this hallowed ground and it has to be at this facility, then we're saying if you build it, we can figure a way around it. We just don't know how you do that for four times the price of what we think we can do with Bowie and Laurel and use taxpayers' dollars. I don't want to ask the state for more or any money more than what is already earmarked for racing. So that's how we look at it. And we looked at Pimlico and we looked at Laurel. So this gets back to the context of your question, and years ago. And, you know, the reason at first we thought, okay, maybe we go to Pimlico, have the year-round race in there. We could always develop the Laurel property. It has a train station. It's 300 acres. Well, then all of the reasons that we wanted to develop Laurel were the reasons that the track should be there is because there's a train station that runs through the property, that there's 300 acres so that we can build onto that and other things. A lot of the things that they want to do with Pimlico that just won't work the same because of the train station ability, transportation, because of the centralized location of Laurel where you can pull from a bunch of different airports. So, you know, the bottom line is that's what we did. And then what we did is we engaged a study that we'll be releasing soon by Sage Group. Annabelle Bazoo, and that study basically says Baltimore won't lose out. Now, I know they don't want to hear that, but from an economic standpoint, people will stay in Baltimore. Supposedly, due to study, it's like 19 minutes from the Inner Harbor to Pimlico, and it's like 26 minutes from the Inner Harbor to Laurel. So, you know, we just don't think it's going to be the effect that they think it is. But anyways, with all that said, we're saying the Metco bill only allows us to build out Laurel. It doesn't say what happens to Pimlico. And if the state and the city has the wherewithal to find a way to fund a Metco, and we'll work with them as a landowner, then we'll look at it. But then we'll also think that they should look at alternative purposes for that property in the study. They should say, you know what? What else can go here that might be more useful than a racetrack there? Because a racetrack really hasn't helped the community over the last 140 years. And they will say, or maybe blame it on us, but we know that it's a bigger picture than us or even them. So that's kind of long-winded answer, but that's the answer.
No, we like long-winded answers. This is radio, so you know, long-winded fills up the air, so that's good. But I want to drill in and sort of pull out a couple elements of what you just said because I think they're very important to be very clear on. So, I guess the first is what I hear you saying is the Stronach Group is gonna put all its eggs in the Laurel basket. You guys are not putting money into Pimlico. Is that correct?
That's right. From a business perspective, now, it's not totally correct because what we're saying as a racetrack, we're not investing in both facilities. It doesn't make business sense for us. Now, would we invest in, we will not leave that land empty. We would figure out what is in the best interest with the community and the leaders, the city leaders, what is in the best interest of that land, and we will invest in the health and well-being of that city, okay, whether it's land or whether it's cash and some investment in development, we would invest. We just won't invest in two racetracks. That doesn't make good business sense for us.
Now, but I think you also said, and I want to also just pull this out, if by some miracle, and this would be like the loaves and fishes miracle, if the city of Baltimore, the state of Maryland, somehow come up with, you know, $400 million to do the ideal Pimlico and keep the Preakness at this new ideal Pimlico, are you guys okay with that? Would you guys not financially participate?
So we would participate for sure. You know, obviously, we'd love, you know, it's our property still. We would participate for sure. And if that was the will of the state and the city and they could pull it off, then we would have to definitely consider it. And it would be, you know, listen, we would get the best of both worlds, right? We'd get a brand new facility at Pimlico. We still think, and this is important, Frank, I mean, yep, that would be a great gift in a way. We still believe that it may not be in the best interest of Maryland racing. Why? Is because when you have this national event like the Preakness and everybody comes from all over the country, they're going to go to Pimlico, which is the new track, and it's going to be cool, but they don't see what you have to have, what you have to offer in Maryland with Laurel. And my one of my biggest things is, how do I grow 200 or 250 days of racing? Well, you need owners and you need trainers that say Maryland's the place to be. Now, I'm not saying we wouldn't be able to do it. It just gets a little bit harder because on that big day, it's great to have owners and trainers say, wow, this is a cool place. I'm going to leave some horses with a trainer or two here. So that's all I'm going to say to that. But if it was, if there was the will of the people and they could find the funding, then yeah, of course we would be crazy to pass that up.
All right. We're going to have to
look for it though. I don't want to say, hey, we're asking for it and we're holding up the state for it. We're saying we could be just fine in Laurel without any money, over and above what's already earmarked for racing.
Okay, perfect. We're going to have to leave it there. But, Tim, thanks so much for spending some of the Saturday morning with us. We appreciate it. Appreciate you sharing all your insights and all your thoughts as to what's going on.
No problem. Thank you, guys, for all you do for racing. Take care.
All right, you do the same. That was Tim Ridfo, Chief Operating Officer of the Stronach Group. A lot to think about there. Good stuff from him. Interesting things going on in Maryland and at Santa Anita. We're up against a break. After the break, going to bring in Debbie Easter of the Virginia Thoroughbred Association, Virginia Equine Alliance. You're listening to Off to the Races, and we're coming right back.
It's conference tournament time.
Joe tickles the twine.
One last chance for bubble teams to earn their way into the field of 68.
And we've got the matchup you gotta hear.
Get the action live on 99.5 and 102.7 ESPN.
Do you know where your mattress came from? If your mattress is from the original mattress factory, you can rest easy knowing that your mattress was hand-built right here in Richmond. And every original mattress factory mattress features American-made materials. From our supportive inner springs to cotton padding to our shock-absorbing box springs. You can even stop by our factory to take a tour and see our team make your mattress. Can the other guys say that? That is the Original Mattress Factory difference. Visit us at originalmattress.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Did you know when you buy a diamond at Diamonds Direct, we'll give you a free mounting? Yes, a 14-karat gold solitaire mounting at no charge with any diamond purchase. Now that's value. Or if you want to take it up to the next level, Diamonds Direct also has a fantastic selection of affordable halo, pave, vintage, three-stone, and other popular mountings in white gold, yellow gold, rose gold, and platinum at the guaranteed best prices, period. Or maybe she wants a designer ring, like the one she sees in the bridal magazines. Well, Diamonds Direct has those too. In fact, we are an authorized retailer for all the top designers, like Tacori, Viraggio, Simon G, Michael M, Henry Dossi, and dozens more. These are the finest handcrafted rings made right here in America. So it's your choice. If you want a free mounting, we have it for you. If you want a designer mounting, we have it too. And everything in between. Over 5,000 ring choices for every style and every budget. And if that's not enough, we can also custom design your ring. Diamonds Direct, for the ring of your dreams. Short Pump, West Broad Village.
Hey O's fans, Birdland memberships are a brand new approach to take your relationship with the Orioles to a whole new level. Benefits now include Birdland Rewards, where you can personalize your own experiences and gifts, including a meet and greet with GM Mike Elias, having a catch on the field, autographed memorabilia, and more. Learn more about each membership level, its benefits and rewards at Orioles.com/membership.
Welcome back, everybody, off to the races radio here. My name's Frank Vespi. We are talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from Virginia and everywhere else. But now we're going to turn our attention to Virginia. Interesting segment we just had with Tim Ritvo of the Stronach Group. A lot of things to kind of think about and unpack from that conversation. Going to turn our attention to the Commonwealth now and bring in a familiar guest who is pinch hitting for us today, Debbie Easter of the Virginia Thoroughbred Association and Virginia Equine Alliance. Debbie, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Frank. Great to be back with you.
Well, we appreciate you making a little bit of time unexpectedly on a Saturday morning. It's the magic of live radio. Sometimes guests got things that come up and you got to kind of go left when you thought you were going to go right. But we appreciate you making a little bit of time on a Saturday. And Debbie, as somebody who's been involved in the racing industry racing and breeding industries in Virginia for a number of years, What's your take? What's your analysis on how things are going? From an outside perspective, it seems like every week or two, there's another box checked by the folks at Colonial Downs and more progress being made. But I'm not on the inside like you are. How does it feel from your perspective?
Feels great, Frank. Boy, working with the new management at the new Colonial Downs has just been super. The amount of knowledge, everything they do seems to be first class, whether it has to do with the gaming of Rosies. They have such an understanding and experience with that, which I have none. But I'll tell you, on the racing side, it just appears that they want to try and do things first class. They understand that, we're going to have to pay some purses down here to attract horses. They're making great hires with Jill Byrne and Allison DeLuca. I think we'll hear about more hires to come. And John Marshall has been nothing but great to work with and bounces things off of us. But I mean, before we can even give him advice, he's making decisions that just seem to be headed down the right road.
Oh, that's certainly what you want to hear. And, a question that I've been sort of mulling over in my head a little bit is, the Colonial 1.0, the version that ended in 2013, for many years, there was always sort of a core of kind of Virginia people that made up a big chunk of that meet that were names you didn't really see anywhere else. They kind of went to Colonial, they raced a little bit there, maybe they sent their horses to somebody else, but that was kind of their bread and butter. I'm curious, Debbie, is your take that core of people is still around, still exists, will still be able to support the new Colonial?
I think that we have less people in Virginia since we did back in the days when Colonial 1.0 started. But I do think also why some of those names weren't recognizable maybe to you is that we did have a fair amount of support from places like Tampa. When it closed, it was convenient for those guys to come up here. And I don't know. I'm just I think that we're hearing a lot of positive about, you know, the turf course being open again and people wanting to come in and run again at Colonial. They enjoyed it. And, you know, I hope that we can fill the races and put on just a quality product. That's what we're all pushing for.
Well, certainly, as you alluded to earlier, they seem to be taking steps in that right direction and you know, towards putting on a quality product. One of those steps has been adding Jill Byrne as VP of Racing. Jill, a Virginia native who has been in the industry for many years, prominently with Churchill Downs, and also adding well-respected Allison DeLuca as the new racing secretary. What's your take on these kind of personnel moves that have been happening?
I think it's fantastic. I think Jill gives us maybe a connection over to Kentucky that we didn't have in the past. You know, she's been based over that way and knows a lot of the horsemen that way, and I think can help maybe bring some of those people. And then I don't know Allison, but I hear nothing but positive things from people that have dealt with her down at Tampa Bay, and personally, that's always been one of my favorite tracks to go to. I know the purses aren't great, but I love to run horses down there. And if she was part of that, that's just very positive.
Talking with Debbie Easter, the Virginia Thoroughbred Association, Virginia Equine Alliance here. And Debbie, you guys opened up a number of OTBs, and we teased a handicapping contest taking place today at Ponies and Pints in Richmond and Buckets in Chesapeake. But those are something you're going to be turning those over to the Colonial Downs 2.0 fairly shortly. Talk about sort of that process, and are you kind of looking forward to not running OTBs anymore, or are you going to miss that side of the business?
Well, it's certainly been a learning experience the last 3 or 4 years. You know, we had to pull off when Colonial left. We had nothing. The horse industry had nothing. No revenue sources. ADW was left, but we had to figure out how to split that up and make that go. You know, we were given the opportunity to open the OTBs while there was no significant infrastructure licensee, which made basically Colonial Downs. So, you know, it was a great thing. What I think we all feel very satisfied about is we were able to get something done and get some money to the horsemen here in Virginia. I think it's going to be a better situation that the new Colonial has those OTBs because they've got experience running things, and hopefully the OTBs and the new Rosies are going to even be better than the ones that we were able to open. But you've got to figure putting it all under one brand name and having people that are experienced running those has got to be hopefully a little bit more beneficial than just us kind of yeehaws that are in the horse business trying to pull something off. Although I will say it's amazing how well it did work.
I just say anybody listening that wants to be upset, she's the one who called you yeehaws, not me.
That's right. Well, it's okay because I'm one of the yeehaws.
Talking with Debbie Easter here, the Virginia Thoroughbred Association on Off to the Races. Debbie, you know, one of the things, and I talked to John Marshall a little bit about this when I had him on a week or two ago. Time gets a little lost, especially when you have a canceled show in the interim period. But, you know, Colonial really, for a little while there, occupied this niche of, you know, was kind of the dominant player in the three-year-old turf route niche for a brief period of time. And that niche has gotten really, really crowded since Colonial closed down. I mean, it was already trending that way when it was still open. But, you know, now it's hard to see it's going to be complicated for races like the Virginia Derby to find a home, you know, find a home in the calendar, a home in the marketplace, given what's happening in New York, given the Penn Mile, given the race in Arlington, you know, kind of all these different things. Are you guys, is that something you're working with the track on? Is that something you guys have opinions about, is how to kind of niche these races?
Sure. I think what you said is very true. The original Colonial with their Grand Slam of Grass had just a great, you know, had something that they could do and sell that was unique to them, and did a very good job of packaging that with some other races. And I think if people don't remember it, I think it was packaged with the Virginia Derby, the Secretariat out at Arlington, and then maybe the Breeders' Cup Turf, and shoot, English Channel almost pulled off the $5 million bonus when it was going. And you know, you had horses like English Channel, Kitten's Joy come in here and win the Derby. So it's got a great history. Unfortunately, we lost it, and other tracks saw that niche. And as turf racing becomes more and more popular in this country, and certainly the Stronach Group has put it to the forefront, I think we're in a little bit of a pickle. And yes, did we think about it and where we need to be? Certainly, it just is getting so hard to place it, and there are a whole lot of factors with the race days. I think this year, I think all of us are hoping that here in Virginia we can work with the Stronach Group to do something like we did in the past, so that the two states are working together instead of against each other. So in the first year, I think we tried to schedule the races where it would not conflict with the Stronach Group as much, and tried to design those races around the Timonium meet where they didn't have turf. And obviously there are going to be some days, because our meet's a little longer, where we run over against each other. But, you know, we tried to do some of those things right up front, just thinking that might be the best thing. And then, you know, I don't think these dates are going to be where we end up. I don't, you know, it's a little early to know. So I think we have the ability to put the Derby in a different spot come next year. But it's difficult. Even when we ran it up at Laurel, you know, it became a difficult place sometimes to attract horses, even though they did a great job of doing that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And the turf triple that Naira's putting together is going to suck a lot of the air out of the room, I think, for a lot of turf races. So how you niche that's going to be an interesting challenge. But nevertheless, you guys, you've got to be excited. What's the mood like among your membership right now as we get closer and closer to the new Colonial?
It's incredible. The things that have happened, but between the whole alliance, I'll have to say the whole alliance coming together, getting the revenue together for the horsemen, creating the new incentive program that we have in Virginia that's just brought over 1,000 horses here in the first year and a half maybe, is just leading up to some very positive energy moving into Colonial. And the folks are, you know, our guys are ready to run again. And it's just bringing life back to our folks that board horses and train horses here in Virginia. And just really looking forward to seeing what the meet, how Allison's going to put together the condition book. I think we're hoping to bring folks from all over, but I do think we'll hopefully have a nice selection of restricted races for just Virginia breds and Virginia certified horses, and we hope that'll, you know, just enhance those programs even better. So just really, really positive. Like I said, the whole attitude of Colonial wanting to do things first class, we're ready. Let's get it open and go.
Well, that's an optimistic note to end on. Debbie, thanks so much for spending a little bit and pinch hitting on this Saturday morning with us on Off to the Races. We appreciate making the time.
Thanks a lot. We'll look forward to talking to you again.
Look forward to it as well. That was Debbie Easter of the Virginia Thoroughbred Association, Virginia Equine Alliance. They are getting revved up for the Colonial Downs meet coming up later this summer. We are up against our final break. After the break, going to bring in Derby Bill Watson, Nick Hahn, do a little handicapping, a little Road to the Derby chatter. You won't want to miss it. You're listening to Off to the Races, and we're coming right back.
Call, text, email, and even have your audio comments delivered right to our studios with a new ESPN Richmond app, now including direct access to our audio vault. Plus, stream our programming with a click of a single button, the all-new ESPN Richmond app. Get it now.
There's a reason that electronic stores put TVs next to each other, because when you compare it side by side, it makes it very evident.
Meet Kevin Knight, who found out that buying an engagement ring wasn't like buying a TV. The biggest problem? Most jewelry stores had a very small selection.
When you're looking at one ring style in one store and then another ring style in another store, you don't get that same confidence that you're getting the right thing.
But then he found Diamonds Direct.
The selection here is just unlike anywhere else.
Diamonds Direct was the only place that let Kevin see dozens of diamonds and rings in his price range side by side.
So when you have a large selection to choose from, you can put them all in a row and say, oh, without a doubt, this is where I want to be.
So, like buying a TV, he could compare the features and characteristics and make a decision that was just right for him.
At that point, it's your own budget. How much do you want to spend, and really, truly, what is important to you? We were able to go up in physical size and down in color, and it really gave us a wow factor that we're looking for.
Diamonds Direct, with a selection big enough to empower you to find that wow factor you're looking for. Short Pump, West Broad Village.
If you have frequent heartburn, take control of it with Prilosec OTC instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens, or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. Ah, it's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
You have to be up in 5 hours. 2 hours. 6 minutes, and you haven't slept a wink. ZzzQuil Pure Z's is a drug-free blend of botanicals with an optimal dose of melatonin, so you can fall asleep naturally and wake with no next-day grogginess. So tonight, try new ZzzQuil Pure Z's from the sleep experts at Vicks ZzzQuil.
24/7, 365. You're up and at 'em every day, so you don't want something like Medicare Part D to slow you down. At Walgreens, we'll take care of your Medicare Part D prescriptions, saving you time and money. Make the switch to Walgreens today and get more by earning 100 balance reward points and save up to $5 on each Medicare Part D prescription when Walgreens is your preferred pharmacy. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Prescription savings applies to Tier 1 generics when you fill out a preferred versus a non-preferred pharmacy on select plans. Points can't be earned in New York, New Jersey, or Arkansas. Other restrictions and limitations apply.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
Hey guys, good news. The expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And now get your first month supply for just $5 at 4hims.com/happy. Hims connects you with real doctors online who can prescribe the medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. So easy. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to 4hims.com/happy. That's 4hims.com/happy.
Hey, this is Tugach. Join me weekdays 10 to 1 on the Dan Le Batard Show, now on 99.5 and 102.7 ESPN.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Josephs does not fear the Reaper. That is what we learned from that musical selection. A little Blue Oyster Cult to conclude our show here. Off to the Races, one segment to go, but what a segment it is going to bring in. Derby Bill and Nick Hahn, welcome, guys.
I know, yes. Derby Bill has something to do with that intro music. Somehow I just have that sense.
I got nothing for you on that, but we are a little limited on time today. We went a little bit over with Tim Ridfo, so I want to jump right in. Bill, there's a race that used to be called the Spiral Stakes at Turfway. It's taking place today. It's a grade three for three-year-olds, but I can't remember the name. Can you help me out with that?
It's the Porterhouse Stakes. 22 ounces of luscious, well-done steak topped at the Jeff Ruby restaurant near Cincinnati.
There's one in Louisville, too, I think.
Yeah, I think they made enough off of me and in Cincinnati that they built one in Louisville.
That's it. You're helping everybody out here. So the Jeff Ruby Stakes is one of the three graded Road to the Triple Crown races taking place today. Who do you like in the Jeff Ruby Stakes, Bill?
Yeah, they're all on national TV. Fox Sports 2, rain's the problem there, but they use a synthetic fake turf. So we saw Animal Kingdom come out of this race, Little E.T. come out of this race to win the Derby. I don't really see that this year, but Some Like It Brown, I like it Well Done, but in this race, it's Some Like It Brown. Big Brown, everybody remembers that monster. Built to go a mile and a quarter, and so is this one. It won the John Battaglia there, and I don't see anybody beating Some Like It Brown.
Well, that right to the chalk, easy, nice winner last out over the strip. Nick, what do you say?
Well, Derby Bill celebrated a birthday this week. Happy birthday, Derby Bill.
And, happy birthday, Derby.
Yes, I'm 29, finally.
He remembers it as the, or knows it as the Jeff Ruby Stakes or the Porterhouse Stakes. I knew it when it was the Jim Beam Stakes. And that makes for a hell of a birthday when you talk about steak and bourbon. But I don't like it brown. I like it hot brown. Is the name of the horse, actually. Some Like It Hot Brown. Big Brown, of course, is a Kentucky Derby winner, nearly won the Triple Crown, and the winner of the Battaglia Stakes is progeny here, Some Like It Hot Brown. Also of note in this race is Sheldon Russell, a regular rider at Colonial Downs. He's riding at Turfway Park today. He's on the 12th of Neverland. A little bit of a long shot play, but he's on some nice mounts all day long, and we hope that a regular rider, riding title winner at Colonial Downs, has a big day today at Turfway Park. But I like Some Like It Hot Brown as well. I'm with nice, you on this one, Drew.
Nice pickup there on Sheldon Russell. I had missed that, but you're right. Regular Laurel Park and Colonial Downs rider heading to Turfway today for their big day there. Let's turn our attention to Tampa Bay, the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby, probably the most consequential of the Derby preps taking place today anywhere. This Grade 2 event, the favorite here looks to be the Mike Trombetta trainee. In fact, Win, Win, Win. Bill, is Win, Win, Win going to win, win, win after taking the Pasco last out?
The greatest trainer name in the business. You have the word bet in his name, Michael Bet Trombetta. from the Sunday Silence, Smarty Jones Bloodline can run forever. Win, win, win. Nick likes this horse. I like this horse. Today, his first trying to stretch to the two turn. And unfortunately, Mr. Trombetta is 0 for 18 in graded stakes. So I'm going to try to beat him with well-defined, the local O'Connell trained here, proven route runner, two wins, just mile and a 16th, two wins at a mile and 16th, which is the Tampa Bay Derby distance, and should bring in some nice fantail shrimp for Derby Bill. Tampa Bay, well known for fantail shrimp.
You just can't make it up sometimes. Nick, what do you say about the Tampa Bay Derby?
Boy, doesn't horse racing and food go well together today?
And bourbon while we're at it.
The Tampa Bay Derby is a race that's really grown over time. It used to be kind of a minor stop. Used to not even really put horses into the Kentucky Derby. Now it's a big player. It's a $400,000 purse. It's a Grade 2. Kathleen O'Connell, who we know from Colonial Downs, has well-defined, a bit of a long shot. Actually, I think 99-1 at the Kentucky Derby future pool is up and running this weekend, so you can bet on the Kentucky Derby today. And you'll get a nice price on Well Defined, but that might change after this race, depending on the performance of her people here. But I like Dreammaker a little bit in this race to go along with Trombetta. Trombetta, of course, was a regular Colonial Downs, too, won the Punchline Stakes with Fox 3 years in a row. But Dreammaker, a Tapping Horse Four, Giroux, nice, even though it was in optional allowance company at the fairgrounds, an eight-leg win, was pretty competitive, was highly thought of in the back half of 2018. So I'm thinking I'm going to go with Dreammaker here and put in a well-defined and win-win-win.
There you go. Dreammaker 4-1 on the morning line. Well defined 7-2. So those come in, that'll pay off a little bit. I want to, you guys can rope in if you want the Gotham here, but I did want to touch on the Derby futures. And Nick, let's start with you. Who are you looking at for future bets at this point on the calendar?
Well, I'm still kind of, I have a ticket from the first pool alive with Instagram. It's really interesting to listening to your earlier segment with Tim Ritvo speaking about California, just the implications that has. They may run the Rebel Stakes now at Oaklawn in two divisions because it has just shipped so many horses out. And the other side of it, too, you see today, is a lot of people were running away from Baffert out in California for the San Felipe. And now it looks like they made a very good decision because, you know, they're sitting in places like the Gotham and horses have shipped away from Baffert, and now they're in prime condition. Now it's Baffert that's probably looking for starts in the places to start improbable and horses like that he's been sitting on for some time. So I still like Instagram. I think there's some real value. If you look at all those California horses, they started out, and the odds have actually gone up on all of those Baffert horses with the events out in California. I still like Hidden Scroll. His next start will be in the Florida Derby. Like the way he ran that race, the hard-spun horse there. So specifically to the Gotham, I like Mind Control in the Gotham today, and I like Instagram in this race. I'm going to put those two together.
Instagram, kind of a freak of nature. Two wins by a combined 20 lengths so far, including grade two Best Pal. Derby Bill, your final thoughts on Road to the Derby futures and or the Gotham?
Yeah, I'm turning it to using an Oaks horse called Bella Fina in an Oaks Derby double with about five horses in the Derby, because you can bet the Oaks Derby double this weekend too. So I'm going to use Bella Fina at 5-1 or better over five or six horses in the Kentucky Derby, just a different angle to use it, including Instagram, who is my top pick in the Gotham, but he's had more of a layoff than Colonial Downs. So I'm worried about him, but I can't take Knicks go. As poorly as the New York Knicks are, I just can't take anything affiliated with the Knicks.
And really, who can blame you for that? Guys, going to have to close it up here. Want to thank Derby Bill and Nick Hahn for joining us here, as well as earlier on the program, Debbie Easter and Tim Ritvo of the Strana Group. Thanks to our producer, Matt Josephs. Great job as always, Matt. Thanks to our listeners. Thanks always for checking us out each week. Keep up with racing all week long on theracingbiz.com. You can tune in next week at the same time to hear the independent voice from Mid-Atlantic Racing and Breeding. My name's Frank Vespi. This has been Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. Have a great week, everybody.